Hello and welcome to this, the 12th episode of the Foreign Podcast, coming at you in 4K. So we're really pleased to be here. We've had a multitude of technical difficulties this evening.
Mental difficulties. Yeah.
but we're here and we are like sort of live. In fact, we're not live at all. Like we're being recorded. My name is Patrick Garrett. I'm recording this in Montpellier in France. This is the place where we talk about all forms of foreignness and countries and not living in the countries in which we were born and stuff like that. And joining me from Denmark is...
Yeah, my name is Mike Bowden. I'm living in Odense, eller Odense, as the Danes would say, or the people on Funen would say, which is the island that Odense is on. Anyway, Odense, Denmark, and... we talk about all kinds of stuff, national identity and what it means, but what it means to be a human in this world. That's the topic of our podcast.
It's pretty deep, Mike. It just gets deeper and higher resolution every week.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the 4K can really zoom in on the bags under my eyes. That's fantastic. And last week we had a really great podcast about thinking and having different personalities in different languages. And as a kind of a hidden sort of a surreptitious plug, I put a video up relating to that. Actually, I got sent a reel from the BBC World Service by Katrina, who is the one who asked the question about us thinking and being different people in different languages and everything else. And I think you should check it out. And I know what you're thinking. Where do I check this out? Well, you go on to our Facebook page. Yes. Old white men on Facebook. That is where you want to be. So, and the Facebook page is basically Foreign Podcast. And all of our video content from now on will be both on there and on Instagram. So please go on and go into Facebook if you still use it, and Foreign Podcast, like our page, like that video. It's actually really, really interesting. It's actually about how kind of your mother tongue means that you think with more emotion, and how maybe when you translate, when you speak your second language, you are more rational. And then it raises the question at the end or the idea that if we think about it, loads of political decisions are made in the UN and the European, and in Europe by people thinking and behaving and talking in maybe something that isn't their first language, which is really quite cool. Yep. So go in and check that out. But more importantly, like the Facebook page, follow it, share everything that we do on every account that you have.
Like and subscribe,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, that's
always
it.
Like.
Yeah. We should actually start calling our listeners guys, because that's what you do on YouTube. Everyone, hi guys.
Hi guys.
Hi guys. Hi guys. Guys. Hi guys. This is the Foreign Podcast.
It's us again. It's the Foreign Podcast.
Yeah.
So this week, moving on, we are going to be answering an email from this woman that keeps mailing us called Aid.
Yeah. Thanks, Aid. Hi, Aid.
Who's my mum. And she says,
nepotism, by the way. This is just all this stuff about nepo babies and stuff.
This is quite a big one. So I think this is going to take up most of the episode. So we have, hello, Pat and Mike. Wasn't there a double act in P.G. Wodehouse books called that? I still don't know. I enjoyed the question and answer session in your last podcast. That was the podcast before that one, actually. So here's another question. Perhaps you feel that you no longer have a national identity. Do you feel you have a cultural identity? Warmest and fondest, Aid.
There's a long answer and a short answer to that.
There are many answers to that question.
The short answer is yes. Next question.
Well, let's go. You go, Mike. You go. Let's see.
So, well, I'm from London, innit? I'm from London, mate.
Okay.
So, I think coming from London is... has its own cultural identity, but I'm sure that most people from no matter where they're from have some kind of, even when I started the episode, I said, I'm living in Odense, because that's the kind of the way that the people who live on the island that Odense's on pronounce it. And that is kind of its own culture within Denmark, right? So Denmark also has lots of different cultural identities. So I suppose that I would say that I'm very typically in the way that I speak, and perhaps even the way that I act. I'm very typically from London. I think I remember in the interview I did with Stacey, if you haven't checked that out, I think it's episode 9.5. But anyway, yeah, interview with Stacey. He says, you know, and he's from somewhere else in England. And he said, well, you're from London. And he didn't mean it in a negative way, but he says, you're like rather large in kind of just the way that I speak, the way that I kind of, way that I kind of am. So I suppose that is a kind of cultural identity.
Do you really subscribe to that idea that because you grew up in London, that you actually are a certain way because of that?
I think it would. I think being the social scientist that I am, but I mean, it's, you know, social inheritance, social capital, as you know, by the there's a term called habitus. There's a French guy called Pierre Bourdieu, who had the idea of social capital, economic capital, and cultural capital, and that all those things together. Very short, cultural capital is like your education and maybe how well-traveled you are. And economic capital is obviously how much money maybe you have. But again, it's more about money giving you options, not just the size of your bank account. And there's also social capital, and social capital is your network. But it's more growing up, so it's more your parents anyway, but it doesn't matter. And all these things go together to make something called habitus. And habitus is basically, it's the way you walk, it's the way you talk, it's your taste in clothes, taste in music, taste in everything. It's basically just the way that you meet the world, and it's based on these sort of social capital, cultural capital. So I think for me, I'm 100% Pierre Bourdieu guy. So I think that I've kind of grown up in this environment and where there are similarities.
You were formed by it, basically, in some way.
And I was formed by it. So, you know, just my vernacular is from London, and that is a certain cultural identity, I think. I mean, is it not? I can sort of hear in the way you asked the question. Do you seriously believe? It was almost like you must be mental.
No. Like I don't. As with all these questions, this is why I fucking hate social science, Mike, because like it's all based on like on. There's always a yes and a no, and like you know I think. That you can absolutely be formed by the things that surround you. You know, like I don't doubt that for one second. You know,
no man is an island.
I absolutely believe that exactly. But the problem I have with the idea of cultural identity, and you know, we did speak a little bit about the elephant in the room last episode, I believe, and how we should always like try and ride that elephant, Mike. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like towards the screaming hordes. is that not everybody is exposed to the same culture, no matter like where they are or where they grew up.
Yeah.
So like, for example, if we take the idea of a British cultural identity, for example, and you know, we both grew up in the 90s, right? Well, like sort of like where do we? Yeah, we're kind of like we were like Britpop and Steps and Margaret Thatcher and you know bloody blah.
Yeah, not so much the Steps part, but yeah, and Blair.
Yeah.
Major Blair, yeah.
The simple truth is that like no matter how obvious that sort of collection of like cultural happenings and cultural objects that you know were sort of present in Britain at that time.
Yeah,
it could be literally dangerous to assume that like, that everybody in Britain was exposed to that, because like you know that simply isn't the case. Just because I you know we talked about Bottom last week.
Yeah,
or like you know last episode, and you know we were both exposed to that. But like we are both sort of like effectively working class white people that kind of grew up in the same you know grew up watching TV at the same time.
There's nothing about me. That's
and
working
we class. we were exposed to that. If we had been middle class or upper class, you know, white people or you know from a different ethnicity or et cetera, we may well have not been exposed to that in any way. So this idea, the problem I have with it is the confusion with national identity.
Well, that's what we're trying to ascertain, right? Cultural identity and national identity. That is the question, yeah. Right? That you maybe don't see yourself as part of a holistic Britain. But
that's the fucking elephant, Mike.
Well, for me, the elephant, I'm now going to be a bit provocative, Pat. I've been waiting since Christmas to say
Let's
this to
go.
You. I've been waiting since Christmas. because
basically, this podcast is just about you fucking like
having a go at you.
Finding questions to put me on the spot over.
You know, no,
like
but,
when we're live on mic, Mike. Let's go.
But it really is, I think, relevant. Right? I think it's relevant. And it kind of is. But we spoke about what you do at Christmas, yeah? Do you remember that?
Okay.
And you said, it's completely fair enough. You said that because obviously your wife is English, and so you speak English, and French is only really something that relatively you've kind of grasped, but it's only something that's kind of like your life outside your house. And so you celebrated a British Christmas. And then I asked you, what about people in your area or people around you? How do they celebrate Christmas? And you said that you didn't know, right? And
that is true.
This is all true, right? And in my head at that time, I just thought that is so typically fucking English. We do it as we've always done. How do the people in the native, how do the natives do it? No idea. I haven't even checked. And to me, that isn't anything about you personally. But a lot of people, and I think a lot of people maybe from Europe or other people would say that is so typically English. That's such an English attitude. We do what we've always done. So in a way, that could be a cultural identity. Maybe that doesn't mean you're British in that way, but that might be something to do with just the mindset. We do what we've always done. What are the people who live halfway down the road? Well, I don't know. Because I don't go out, I don't bother, because I just do what I do.
Well,
that might be an English thing, right?
It was probably a bit of a mistake of me to say that, like, I do the British Christmas, because, like, when we're talking about, like, a British Christmas, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about 25th, Christmas lunch, watching TV the rest of the day, opening your presents in the morning. That's all I meant by it. I didn't mean anything else.
No. That's completely fine. And I guess that is very typical to Britain.
Mm.
You know, but like because how's that formed me culturally? That's a different thing. That's just like you know that again. Like we saw like go back to this sort of the idea of you know what is culture. You know, is it like a set of products that are out in the world in society? Is it a set of practices that people perform in a sort of like ritualistic type way? Maybe it's a sort of like collection of all those things.
Or just a mindset.
I don't like that. I've got to be honest. I don't like the idea that I've got a British mindset.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think we need to kind of we actually agree, right? I'm not now talking about having like what I understood by the question. Let's put it that way: having a cultural identity, and that's why I started with saying that I have a London identity. Because of the area. And I think that, again, if you just look, social sciences helps us out again, Pat. I mean, if you didn't know, but seriously, if you look at like the Brexit vote,
Okay.
Like London wanted to remain, and that's about it, right? And yeah, there are obviously lots of factors around that. That immigration was a huge kind of a factor for people wanting to leave, and there's so much multiculturalism in London. So the people who basically had the most kind of other immigrants or foreigners around them voted to stay, and the people who had the fewest around them voted to leave. But I think growing up in an environment where you are meeting different cultures, exposed to different cultures, that has to affect your mindset compared to other areas in the UK. So I do agree with you. As you said, you're exposed to different things. But I think that, as you can see, just on the kind of on the Brexit vote map, London really stuck out from almost the rest of the country. And also, without getting too political again, if a lot of, especially the north of England, they voted to leave Europe because they wanted to punish London. And I remember I actually saw it was a Danish program again about Brexit, but it is relevant. And there was a guy I agree with. I think it was also it was Nick Clegg, who was the leader of the Liberal Democrats, who had a coalition government with the David Cameron's Conservative Party. Anyway, he said that everyone made the mistake of thinking, well, everyone in London thinks this. Everyone, all the chatter I hear around me thinks this. So we don't have to worry, because that means the whole country thinks this. But it doesn't. It was a London thing. And so that's what I mean when I said mindset. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
So the whole idea that London thinks of itself as the center of the universe, and you know it is everyone. And I think that you know there is a kind of what Stacey was going on about me being large. He could also maybe mean full of myself. That kind of a little bit of arrogance, and that maybe comes from me coming from London.
But that's sure. That is surely just stereotyping.
Stereotypes are derived from truth, though.
That's not the case.
All stereotypes are derived from some kind of truth.
That's a dangerous line of thought.
I know it is, but it was, like, it was just know, a comeback.
This is the problem I have with social science, because at best, social science gives like valuable insight into the way society works.
Yeah, behavior.
At worst, it basically reposes on the worst type of stereotyping. And like, you know, basically a good social scientist, I would say good in inverted commas, they're none of them are good, Mike. Basically, will tell you immediately that the idea of the public as this sort of like unit is obviously erroneous.
Well, like, of course, you know, it is, but there are tendencies, right? There are tendencies. And you look at the tendencies, you know. That's of course, I tell my students that, you know, this doesn't mean that you are this or that.
As long as like it's important to note something as a tendency rather than sort of saying like this is how a massive amount of people behaves as a sort of herd, as a unit.
Yeah.
Because that simply isn't true. You know, and it's completely manipulable as well. So like it is basically sort of like getting tied up with this is the problem I have with this topic, is that it's extremely easy to fall into the trap of confusing cultural and national identity. Because if we're saying that London has a mindset, then you can easily say that
Manchester
Britain
has
a mindset.
Or that
Europe has a mindset, for example. Like, why stop there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, it's a dangerous line of thought. Mm. It's important to nuance it. Like, I do, you know, there is a value, obviously, in social science, but like, it is really, really important, in my opinion, to make sure that what you're talking about is a trend, like amongst millions of individual people.
Yes,
who can be influenced to behave in a certain way, and like looking at things like basing the idea of cultural identity off a vote. For example, You're skating on thin ice there.
I was doing it on the background, why people voted, not on just the result itself, their reasons for voting. And again, the idea of being exposed to a multicultural society and with immigration being proved as the main sort of thing that that and wanting to punish London as the two main reasons why people voted to leave. Then I think you start to get a more of a general picture of why people, and there's also identity politics. There was loads of stuff, but I'm not saying 2 + 2 is 4. All I'm trying to say is in a way, it's like voting for a political party. It's very, if you do vote, it's very unlikely that you agree with absolutely every single point on their party political program. But especially in Denmark, where there's about 8 parties, right? Then you choose the one that you agree the most with, not because you're never going to be able to agree with all of it. So I think if we are going to talk about cultural identity, I do agree with you. But I would say that, I can kind of see that the stereotypes around maybe being a Londoner, I don't maybe 100% fit the description. No, I don't. But I would say that I can see a lot of those things in me more so than I can maybe with the stereotypes of coming from Scotland or coming from Newcastle or coming from Wales or something else. That's all I'm really trying to say. That there are certain characteristics and I can see some of those that people generally talk about and I can see some of those characteristics in me. That's my point, really.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can see them.
To answer the question, directly, I don't feel as though I have a cultural identity, and I will qualify that, in the same way, I consider myself to be an individual. Was I formed by the culture I grew up in? I'm not sure, man. I don't know. It's a extremely complicated question that, and it's just to go, okay, well, yes, I'm Welsh, for example. I mean,
But you didn't live there, though, did you? Were you brought up in Wales? You weren't, were you?
I was born in England. I'm fucking English, Mike.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I was born in England, and then my mum and dad moved to Wales when I was 3. But my blood was always English.
You said the other day on the other podcast that I remember because I made that reel of it that you were brought up in and you mentioned a town. Do you remember what town was that? You mentioned a city and I put a picture up on a reel when you said national identity, Mike, is a lie. Do you remember that speech you went on? And you said
I said it was a fiction.
It's a fiction. That's it. And then
that's right.
And then you said you were brought up in and what was the town? Oh, it's a city. I thought it was Nottingham or something.
No. I grew up I was born in Nottingham and their mum and dad moved to a village called Gresford.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't Gresford, you mentioned.
Which was near Wrexham and Chester.
Yeah.
Chester's in England, Wrexham's in Wales. And so where I grew up, right on the border.
Okay.
But it was effectively, it was like an English speaking part of North Wales. So I don't know. I think, the sort of people that surrounded me, it's just we celebrate a British Christmas. What I'm really talking about is we celebrate the Christmas that I remember as a kid, which is what everybody on the street celebrated, which was just fucking quality street and bloody, has that formed me as an individual? I don't know. I don't feel as though, that's just part of my identity.
Yeah, but you were saying about...
I think what it really boils down to is what do we mean when we say identity? What is that? Do you know what I mean? And it's if we're sort of splitting, if the question is sort of this split between national and cultural identity, I think other people, to be honest, really do impose this sort of stereotypical British identity on me far more than I feel that I belong to it, if you like.
Yeah.
I don't feel British in any way. Right. And I don't kind of You know, I don't.
You've
I don't
made that
feel
clear
as though,
several
like,
times.
No, I know, but like, you know, it's important to me because, like, yeah, it's yeah, yeah. You know,
that's why we're doing
I,
this.
Like, I don't feel as though, like, you know, do I have a specific cultural identity?
Mm.
Like, I don't know.
But again,
like,
you know,
I mean, the answer is no. I don't think I do. Like, to be honest.
But you asked the question at the start about what it was, and you said, "Is it like just a set of kind of rituals or habits?"
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of, again, it's a stereotype, Pat, but a lot of foreigners, oh, you're British, therefore you drink tea.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah,
and you do drink tea, right?
I do drink tea.
So that one stereotype, like, that harmless stereotype, you fit that, right? You fit that in. You fit to that
stereotype. Does that form a part of my identity? Like, really, as an individual, just because I drink tea and I was surrounded by people that drink tea, and, like, you know, everyone I knew fucking drank tea.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Does that make me you know, fulfill part of my identity as a tea drinker? Do you know what I mean? It's just like, well, what I'm saying is, like, okay, fine. Yes, I drink tea. And, you know, there were, like, loads of people around me when I grew up that drank tea.
Yeah.
Like, I literally buy fucking PG Tips tea.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yes. France off
Amazon. So do I,
Pat.
I've got it, but I drink coffee. but I drink mostly coffee. It's actually my kids that drink the tea. They put about five sugars in it. And
Of course.
Well,
like
true crazy.
Fucking Londoners. It's their London jeans.
That's it. And you have to have the bag of sugar on the table with the spoon in it rather than having
a spoon in it.
Rather than a sugar bowl. But, yeah.
But, like, what I'm saying is that, okay, maybe that thing is true, and maybe that's kind of like a natural habit, like something that sort of like happens in Britain as a sort of like cultural thing, I suppose. You know, what I'm asking is, like, whether or not that actually fucking matters. Just because, like, we have, like, these cultural touchstones, like, you know, we were exposed to, like, the same TV shows, for example,
yeah.
You know, so what?
Mm. But don't you think that's kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, really? So why does that actually matter?
Okay, but I don't think the question is if it matters or not. That's not about the question, do we ascribe to it? So, I mean, do you think that watching the TV show, which we mentioned last time, was called Bottom, or growing up with another TV show called The Young Ones, and Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer, and having maybe Monty Python as a kind of part of our culture... Do you not think that, again, that has perhaps shaped, that's exposed you to a sort of humour, which exposes you to a way of looking at the world, which exposes you to a way of looking at yourself, which maybe, you know, pulling on another stereotype, if we're just going to get them out, you know, the Germans and their humour or whatever, or Americans and their humour. There is a British humour, and a British humour, though, is maybe very ironic and also extremely self-effacive. It's very self-critical, but with irony. And yeah, you know, and that reflects...
But that's making the assumption that I was exposed to, like, what if I was exposed, for example, what if I grew up in Britain and I was exposed to American humour?
Yeah. Well, then we wouldn't like you,
very much. Like, you know, which is what, like, my dad used to go fucking mental about it. You know what I mean? About like American TV on you know, British TV, for example. Like, we, you know, I remember, like,
and that's a very English thing to do. Right?
I know you're listening to this, Mum, but I do. I remember, like, that I literally can't remember exactly what shows or whatever, but I know that
Cheers,
sort of like
Americanism
on TV was just like, you know, it wasn't seen positively.
No,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, that's a very English thing, right? The Americans, they're culturally kind of inferior to us. Again, that's another stereotype, though, right?
I think, seriously, the British people seeing
Americans as culturally inferior.
But like, I would never, like, personally, honestly, like, I really got to, like, strip it back to the idea of, like, seeing, like, American people and British people. I do not see the world that way, you know? Like, we're individuals. So I really do see it like that. I do, but I do accept that, you know, obviously, there are... cultural practices that, you know, and there is like a media culture, for example, if we talk about, you know, a specific media culture, obviously the media culture in Denmark or in France or in Britain, you know, as we did talk about this about like, you know, the people, you know, in the did we talk about this on the podcast or privately, I can't remember, about like the, like, I've just done a work placement and and the guys in the office, like, you know, I couldn't really sort of understand a lot of what they were talking about, because they were talking about like TV shows that they'd been exposed to.
Yeah, you spoke about
that
last
time
when we spoke about Bottom. Yeah, yeah. There's that whole kind of cultural, that cultural reference that people can fall back on, and I have that with Danes as well. TV programs they watched when they grew up, or music of the time when they were kids, or whatever. You just can't relate to it. Yeah.
So, like what you were saying, Les, you know, that if you're exposed to a certain type of humor, for example, and you know, and whether or not that sort of affects you in the way that you sort of like see yourself and bloody blah, I can, you know, I can absolutely, you know, get on board with the, at least the idea of that, you know, like, I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying that that isn't the case. What my problem is with the idea of like cultural identity, you know, in, you know, Entregime, sorry, like in between fucking quote marks.
Yes.
Is a blanket thing that affects everybody.
Mm.
Because they're like, that isn't the case. Like what you're talking about is effectively a generalization.
It is effectively a generalization. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Which is why social science is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. but there's another aspect to it which neither of us can relate to, which is the idea of having a cultural identity within a national identity. Which is the idea, well, I mean, I don't know how to explain it best, but I don't know if I've mentioned the book before, but there's this book here, which is, it's called Natives, Race and Class in the Ruins of Empire. And it's by the author Akala, who's a pretty, you know, I've got a bit of a man crush on him. He was the guy who started the hip hop Shakespeare company, talking about how the meter of hip hop rhyme is the same as the meter of the sonnets, introducing Shakespeare to a whole new sort of generation. And but he's also social commentary. He's been a rapper, and now he's an author. And if I may read a little bit of this book out, Pat,
go for it.
And it's chapter 2. Everyone, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. It says in chapter 2, The Day I Realized My Mum Was White. I returned home from primary school upset. My mum tried to figure out why, but I was reluctant to tell her. I can see now with some glasses on. After some coaxing, it emerged that a boy in the playground had called me a particularly nasty name. As I was finally about to spill the beans, a strange thing occurred. I said, "Mum, the white boy," and trailed off before I could complete the sentence. I looked at my mum as a profound realization hit me. With a hint of terror and accusation, I said, "But you're white, aren't you, mummy?" Before this moment, my mum was just my mum, a flawless superhero like any loving parent is in a five-year-old's eyes, but I sensed that something about that image was changing in the moment, something we could never take back. I wanted to unask the question. I wish I had just pretended my day had been fine. I was mad at myself. My mother's expression was halfway between shock and resignation. She'd known this day would come, but the directness of the question still took her aback. Just a little bit more. She thought for a moment, and then, using one of her brilliant, if perhaps unintentional, masterstrokes in psychology, she replied something in the effect of, "Yes, I'm white, but I'm German and they're English." It didn't matter that my mum wasn't really German. She was born in Germany and brought up in Hong Kong before returning to the UK, as my granddad was in the army. Or that I was technically English. My mum had set up a mental safety valve for me so that I could feel comfortable reporting racist abuse to her without having to worry that I was hurting her feelings. Even at 5, I had somehow figured out that there was a group known as white people to whom it was now clear that my mother belonged, and that many of these people would get offended at the mere mention of their whiteness. I somehow knew instinctively that whiteness, like all systems of power, preferred not to be interrogated. And for me, you know, that is a cultural identity, right? He has a cultural identity that is different from the norm. He is technically English. He says himself that there is some kind of, there's a Jamaican in him, and he's quite a mix. But he feels, and he can see through the relationship with his parents, that he has this different cultural identity. And this cultural identity was formed by empire and is a result of empire. But do you think there is that? Do you think that's a clearer distinction between having a cultural identity here and having a national identity? That's what I wanted to ask you.
I think, like, really, what that's it's a big question. Yeah, like, I mean, like, seriously, like, because he's talking about racism, right?
Or how it makes him feel, racism. Yeah, how racism so, makes him like, feel.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, like, racism is another question, and, like, you know, whether or not it's like, you know, I am not qualified to talk about racism.
No,
like,
no,
like, really, like, you know, I'm, you know. I mean, I wouldn't really want to. I got to be honest. Like, I mean, it's not like I don't consider. I, you know, I mean, we've talked quite a bit on this podcast about, like, you know, the fact that we've been sort of like, in a way, sort of isolated and stereotyped simply through, like, being foreign.
Yes,
and, you know, that is a fact. Mm. But I have not experienced racism in the same way that a black person would.
No,
for example, and, you know. And so, like, where do I equate the sort of the experience of racism with the idea of cultural identity? I mean, I would struggle to answer that question seriously.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, you know, it's not like I actually don't know is the honest answer.
The reason why I chose that wasn't really, and I understand it's maybe the wrong passage to read out, but what I wanted us to take from that was that there are lots and lots of different cultures, especially in England, that have a very strong sense of cultural identity.
Identity.
Areas of Brick Lane, the huge Indian and Pakistani areas. We also obviously have Soho. And where people feel free to sort of, and hopefully are also free I'm trying to think of the Danish word. There's a problem. Dyrke, to practice their kind of their culture and express their cultural identity. But they are all still, like, on paper, British.
Right.
So that's so, yeah, using the thing of racism there, but it wasn't really so much racism. It was him realizing that he was different from his mum culturally and has different cultural experiences than his mum, but they're still the same. As he said to himself, I am still English, and English
but
was actually...
But is he different from his mum culturally, or is he different from his mum ethnically? Is it like, we're talking about culture, or are we talking about skin colour?
Yeah, well, here, it's a skin colour, but I just wanted to sort of take that realization from him and just expand it out to all the different areas there are in London. Again, talking about London, but also in the UK, where there are huge sort of groupings of different ethnicities that express their cultural identity through food, through music, through the clothes that they wear, and everything else. But they're all still English. So they don't have maybe a national identity that is English, but they are English, like, on paper, passport, but they have a cultural identity. You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. And, like, you know, you could say exactly the same thing about, like, France. In fact, like, you know, I actually read a really interesting book on the sort of difference between the difference between national and cultural identity in Quebec and France. Quebec is in Canada, for those that don't know, and, like, they Quebec, like, the one of the it was basically a French colony, so, like, they speak French there, like, one of the national languages is French, and it was written by it's called Identité Nationale Multiculturalisme de Notion Antagoniste, like, whether or not these the culture, the, you know, the idea of national identity and cultural identity can actually fit together, written by a lady called Sabine Choco. And the difference, effectively, between France and Quebec is that France is, like, its national identity is based on post-revolutionary politics. It's homogenized.
Mm.
So, like, national identity in France is kind of like one thing.
Yeah.
In Quebec, as in America and Canada in general, the really the sort of like national identity is based, really founded on the idea of multiculturalism.
Mm.
That, you know, it's a country founded on immigration. That's not the case in France, for example. So obviously this causes problems in France. I've talked about this quite a bit. Obviously, you know, immigration like tests both of these concepts. Mm. Do you know what I mean? As it does, like it has done in Britain, you know, that, you know, we both have experienced, you know, the sort of like the sort of the very, you know, the darker side of immigration in Britain, you know, where people really don't, you know, there are some people that really don't like it. You know what I mean? They don't like, you know, a big influx of people that sort of like changes what they believe to be their national identity, because their national identity is effectively based on a sort of idealization of like monoculture. But the reality is what you're talking about, which is which is correct. That like the, you know, no, it's true. Yeah. Like, you know, absolutely it's true. You know, we both grew up in Britain, and, you know, we both, which means that we share a cultural identity, Mike. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, we both, you know, I grew up in like the Northwest. My dad used to take me to like Manchester to, you know, to eat curry. And, you know, we used to, you know, sort of go to Indian restaurants all the time. And, you know, my mum and dad are from Birmingham. Which is, you know, extremely multicultural, a huge amount of immigration, a huge amount of Indian immigration. Yeah. And obviously now I live in a, you know, in a Maghrebi quartier in the south of France, which, you know, I'm surrounded by people from Morocco and Algeria. Whether or not, like, you know, do people from sort of like different, like, cultures, like, you know, really sort of like claim that identity and claim to sort of like practice that identity, to be honest, like, yes, you know, like, I've definitely seen that, you know, so, you know, that's an absolute fact of life in Britain. What you're talking about is completely true. I mean, you know, there's no getting away from that. And, like, you know, that's absolutely true here, you know, in terms of, for example, like the religious practice, like Islam is like very evident. You know, like here, you know, there's a mosque here, and like, you know, Friday, it's, you know, just packed with people being Muslims. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is, I suppose, like part of a cultural identity, if you want to tie religion into it as well. But like, I think like just so like, you know, just to, I don't want to like, you know, denigrate what the passage that you read, because like it's really interesting, and like
it's a great book.
Like to me, yeah, I'm sure it is a really amazing book. But I think he's specifically talking about like, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody called him a racial slur, and like, you know, so like, you know, like having to sort of like deal with the fact that
he's different. Or yeah, he's seen as different.
You know, he's like, there's something different about him. You know, it's whether it, like tying sort of like skin color to sort of like cultural identity. I mean, it, like, for the sake of argument, if we just take away the fact that he's talking about skin color, and like, you know, is he different? You know, like, you know, that's the thing that, you know, I constantly sort of like come back to about this question of like cultural identity. If we're saying like, you know, that it shouldn't matter, obviously, like, you know, well, it doesn't matter what fucking color your skin is. You know what I mean? It's still, you know, still like, you know, a valid person and still behave in a, you know, in any way you want to, really, you know, should that be tied to sort of like some kind of like cultural identity? I mean, that's above my pay grade, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fine. Like, as I said, it wasn't really about that. But for me, I think maybe what I hear you say, or the conclusions I come to based on what you said, not just at the end there, but is that if every immigrant, because we're immigrants, right? So, yeah, I'm not sort of putting my arm around people of who have skin color and say I'm just like them, but we are technically all immigrants. And right. and my experience of what I've spoke about before, and, you know, you going to experiencing in Birmingham and in London, is that these groups of immigrants really want to express their kind of native cultural identity or their cultural identity. That's something that they enjoy doing and something that they want to do. And I just think if everybody kind of thought or everybody followed what you were saying, then there wouldn't be these kind of areas of London or of England. And there wouldn't be these, there wouldn't be maybe the, I've seen a documentary about the first Jamaicans in Bristol, the people who came over on the Windrush, and they were some of the first people to start the first carnival ever in the UK. So they, and now we've got this Notting Hill Carnival, which is this huge now, millions of people, cultural event. But that was people from Jamaica trying to bring some of their culture with them, or what they saw as their culture, what they interpreted as their culture with them from Jamaica to the UK, which is now...
I mean, the problem I have with it, seriously, is the word they, because like
I said the people who came over or the people in the documentary. That's what I'm talking about.
When I say that there's a sort of like an expression of cultural identity, if you like, by people practicing Islam, like in the place where I live.
Yeah.
Not every person here who came from Morocco, like, goes down the mosque every Friday.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And like, not every person who came over on the Windrush went to like started a carnival because they felt as if they wanted to like express some kind of like cultural identity.
No, they didn't. We're in the
realm of like tendons, and that's correct. But like, I think it's important to say that just because like a certain group of individuals that share a cultural identity express that cultural identity does not mean that everybody that comes from that culture is you know of the same frame of mind or the same intention.
No.
Or you know and like I think that you know if we sort
but
of
I think if you ask
if
them
we don't, if we don't make that distinction then again you're in the danger of like of stereotyping.
Yeah, but I still would postulate that everybody from these huge cultural events, from these the fact that I've lived up in a lived up Jesus, I've so, excuse me, I've been brought up in an area of that's multicultural and exposed to it with just friends at school and all different types of stuff. In a way, I feel I'm very lucky for that, but that has also given me. I'm not saying I understand like 100%. I'm never going to understand, but that has made my mind more open and understanding towards these people. Towards these people, that sounds horrible. Towards other immigrants or immigrants in the UK and also obviously in Denmark. Now, what I'm saying is, if there wasn't these groups of people within the groups of immigrants that came over that expressed their cultural identity to make idiots like me understand it. Do you see what I mean? So in order...
Yeah, no, I get it.
So tolerance for these, for different cultures, and if we're still not there yet, obviously, because there's racism and there always will be, but general tolerance for these societies have come from certain groups of people's desire to express what they interpret as a national culture. And I think, so if we go all the way back to your mum's question... Like, if you personally, and I'm really not trying to make this about you, but it's our podcast. If you personally were charged with, like, okay, no one in Montpellier whatsoever understands what it's like to be British or English. No one knows anything about it. You and your family are there. You want to be understood in the way, be the way that you live your life. Do you see what I mean? But you would say, well, no.
Yeah, but like,
you would opt out of that.
This is like basically to use an example of like people who sort of like try and express their like what they feel to be a British identity in France.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you have met people like this in Denmark. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Yeah,
you know who like you know they fucking like you know people that you know really do make a big deal out of the fact that they are British, that they feel British, that they you know they want to express some kind of like Britishness constantly. You know, I mean, like I have met people
expats
like that. Absolutely, it's not. It's not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not. It's not. it's not so much, you know, it's not a thing in Montpellier, and it's one of the, well, honestly, one of the main reasons we actually moved here, because, like, you know, like you are, you know, saying, because you grew up in a multicultural environment.
Mm.
We wanted our children to grow up in a multicultural environment as well. And I say multicultural, what I mean is, like, you know, that I wanted them to grow up in a in an environment that wasn't, like, you know, pretty much like 99% white French, because, like, it what you're saying is correct in my opinion, that, you know, it teaches basic humanity, basic, you know, sort of like tolerance, and, you know, that you should, you know, you shouldn't be a fucking racist. I mean, that was a pretty important lesson for me to teach my children. And, like, so yeah, like, in a, after 50 fucking 5 minutes or whatever it is.
Remember, the first 20 minutes we were arsing around doing nothing, so.
Yeah.
I don't think the podcast is going to be that long when we edit it. Yeah, but go on.
Do I feel, like, what was the question?
Well, I mean, I still think, like, I mean, if I put it to you, just one last question. You do, so
okay,
if,
go on.
If everyone around you.
Yep.
Was a, and I know we, yeah, I don't know, it's just going to sound a bit contrived, but yeah, if no one understood Britishness and there wasn't what you were saying around you, because what you're saying around you, yeah, okay, it doesn't matter really. Don't you want to change people's perception of
I don't want to be viewed as British.
Yeah, but people will know that you are, and then they will attach that stereotype to you, but you could actually something. You can
that
actually,
is their fucking problem.
No, but that is the world we live in.
Nah, man.
That is the world we live in.
That's not my fucking fault. You know what I mean?
It's not
just
your
like,
fault.
You know,
no,
at the
but,
end of the day.
But all I'm saying, my point is, I don't think you should do anything about it. That is not my point. But my point is that if there was another group of British people, or a larger group of British people in your area that were maybe more like you in terms of politics. I don't mean like in voting, I just mean in sort of social politics.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Let's just say that they actually kind of had these events or whatever where people from the local area could see that British people weren't just like, "Wee, whatever, Britain, yeah, and expats." Yeah. Then that, you would benefit from that. You would indirectly.
Would I? Yeah. Would I though?
Well, yeah, but you've just said that.
Surely, like the sort of like cultural,
just said that other people from in England, multicultural groups have benefited from tolerance and people expressing their culture. Mm, so you would.
I said that like it was a fact of life that like basically ethnic groups in Britain express themselves culturally.
Yeah, and that,
like, whether
increases
or not they
tolerance.
Benefited from that.
Well, that increases tolerance. That's what we agreed. And so tolerance must be a benefit from that. If you understand a culture, you're more tolerant over from it. As you said, you don't want to be racist. So having a culture that people accept and understand the person, understand the culture, that increases tolerance in any country, which is best, which is great for everybody. Everyone gets along because you understand. People fear and then distrust and then hate what they don't understand. So expressing your cultural identity, this is why, this is me, this is who I am, this is where I come
but
from.
But like, what if I don't have a cultural identity, man?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, but
you know what I mean? And like, this is, I don't. Like, and this is what I think that a lot of what we're talking about is like, you know, I don't, again, I think it's like really, you know, dangerous to sort of like ascribe like the sort of expression of cultural identity as like a sort of intention to increase awareness of like where people come from.
It's
because
a side
I think
effect.
A lot
I don't
of what
think
we're talking
should be
about,
intended, yeah, but it's
yeah,
side.
Well, exactly. I think it, you know, it's like, you know, what we're, you know, we're talking about like expressions of cultural identity from groups that have traditionally been oppressed, right? I don't, you know, it's just like, you know, have I been oppressed? It's just like, well,
no, you
sort
haven't.
Of.
No. Well, yeah.
But like,
not really.
In the same way.
No, not in the same way.
Not in the same way at all.
We're pretty much
so
top
like
of the food chain and always have been and always will be. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you know, I don't feel a need to express any kind of cultural identity for any reason. And I, you know, like, and I respect, you know, whatever anybody else wants to do, that's fucking
too.
Up to them. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But I don't.
And I think there would be a good place to stop because I do actually agree with you. No, I do agree with you. I don't feel the need either. But all I'm, but my right. only my only aside is that I do feel in the realms of, you know, I, as I said at the very start, I feel that there are certain things about maybe coming from England and especially from London that I can see within myself. And so if we are going to frame the question or the definition of cultural identity as that, then I would say I have a cultural identity. But am I typically British? Okay. Am I, you know, yeah, it's on my passport, but I don't think, yeah, I think that's that question is something, yeah, I don't think I am. In many ways I am maybe, but yeah. So, but I do agree with you, Pat, kind of, you know.
I think you're full of shit, Mike.
Yeah, that's personally. It. Yeah, well, you know.
It's a joke. Yeah. It's a joke.
No, it's all right. No, because, you know, yeah. You're probably right, mate. You're probably right.
I am joking. Yeah.
It's all right. I can
joking.
Take it, even if you weren't. I can take it. The timing was spot on. So, but yeah. I think, well, I don't know if that answers your question, Aid.
Thanks for that, Aid.
Can you stop sending these emails, please? You know.
Fuck it all.
But anyway, next week, Pat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh God, we've got a cracker
of a question
for the next episode. Let's hear it.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find.
Here it goes. Hi, Pat and Mike. This is from Rasmus, a colleague of mine, Rasmus Salomon. Okay. And the heading of the email is school systems and education in France and DK. And he says here, hello, Pat and Mike. I've been frequently listening to your podcast as the sole YouTube viewer stroke listener. He is, he is the only person I know who actually pays to subscribe to YouTube and gets all of his podcasts and everything through YouTube. Fair play to him. Anyway, so my question is regarding your perspective on the education system. My question is regarding your perspective on the education system you grew up with compared to the education system your kids are now experiencing. Is there any interesting differences between the British and the France stroke DK system that you've experienced? As a perspective of someone from the outside, do you reckon there are some noteworthy issues or fields of improvement? And do you reckon the French or Danish system could learn anything from the British system you two grew up with? MVH, as I said before, Mevenli Hilsen, Rasmus Salomon, YouTube listener. And that is what we're going to be talking about next week, Pat.
And I cannot wait for that. That's going to be a fucking cracker.
I automatically think of when you said about how proud you were of your children learning the French national anthem.
that was a great moment.
That was a great day at school, kid. That's a great question. And obviously, we'll read that again at the top of the show.
Okay.
But, it's your show today, Pat. What are we doing?
Well, I think basically you need to go to Instagram and fucking follow us
at Foreign Podcast. At Foreign Podcast.
That's it. You need to go to Facebook. What's
Foreign
that?
Podcast. It's just fine. I think Foreign you just Podcast. Type in Foreign Podcast. It's Facebook page, Foreign Podcast. You need to
That's
email
it.
Us.
And you need to email us at foreignpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
So do all of that and then come back in 2 weeks and we will have an enormous argument for 2 hours about school systems. It's going to be amazing.
And also,
do not miss it.
YouTube channel. Go on the YouTube channel and watch it unfold. Yeah, watch the whole thing unfold in front of your eyes. The car crash in slow motion. Anyway.
On that note, goodbye. Thanks very much for listening and see you next time.
Bye-bye.